Good evening. So tonight, I very briefly want to talk about two types of confession. The first one is one that we're pretty familiar with, and it's one of the primary purposes of the invitation itself: to invite the unsaved to make the good confession that Jesus is Lord, and then, on the basis of that confession, be baptized for the remission of their sins. Also, before I continue, it might be worth noting the invitation song will be 322 tonight. 322. So as it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Of course, I'm not saying anything you haven't heard, and for those who have still yet to make the good confession, I don't quite know what else to tell you to make you feel the need to be saved. We have the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, and Luke chapter 12, verse 8, where he says that whoever confesses him, he would confess before his Father, and whoever denied him, he would deny before his Father. So if those words of Jesus aren't enough to move you, I don't quite know what is. You just need to ask yourself whether or not you love the Lord Jesus and care about your soul. There is, however, another type of confession, and it serves as the other purpose of the invitation, which is, in the words of James chapter 5, verse 16, to confess our sins one to another. Now, this time is usually reserved for those who need to make some type of public confession for a sin that was committed in a public fashion. But today, I would like to invite all of us to live lives of confession. In other words, to be a little bit more transparent with one another. How many Christians, both locally and worldwide, suffer from temptations that are never known about, kept silent because of shame and guilt? For example, I imagine that there are more people than we think among our number and among our brethren worldwide who suffer from issues like homosexuality, pornography, or even major doubts about their faith, about the existence of God, or even about their own salvation. And what can very easily happen, and what I have seen to happen, is that those issues are not dealt with, but they are kept hidden, and they fester and grow until they spiritually kill the person. They either succumb to sin, or they leave the Lord entirely. Consider the phrasing of Psalm chapter 32, verse 3. "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long." If we are waiting for our issues to resolve themselves in private, we are on a fool's errand, and frankly, deserve what we get. Because we have a system in place, and in fact, the weight of a direct command from God to confess our sins one to another, and in doing so, solicit the prayers of the saints on our behalf. But too often, we don't avail ourselves of the opportunity given. For example, why is it that when I know that there are wise and kind men serving as our shepherds, that I decide to go to them last whenever I have an issue? Why do I not confide more of my struggles with my wife, whose very role it is to be a helpmeet? And why are there Christians who fall prey to sins that no one ever knew they were struggling with in the first place? Now, here's what I'm not saying tonight. I'm not saying that everyone needs to make a mass exodus to the front during the invitation song. What I am saying, and what I'm inviting us all to do, is maybe afterward, or tomorrow, or the next day, pull aside someone we can trust, whether it be one of the elders, a friend, a spouse, and tell them and confide in them what's on our hearts and our minds, and to truly confess our sins one to another. And even more importantly, let's create environments in our homes and churches that encourages people to confess their sins. I believe that one of the reasons that we don't confess our sins more is because sometimes we aren't equipped to deal with certain types of sins. I mentioned things like homosexuality or pornography earlier. How many of us would really react if someone close to us confessed to us that they struggled with those types of sins? Now, I don't mean, say, if someone were to come out of the closet, so to speak, and demand to be accepted for their alternative lifestyle. That's not what I'm talking about. Scripture is very clear as to what we are to do with brethren who are unrepentant in their sin. But that's not the type of person I'm talking about. The type of person I'm talking about is someone who is truly sorrowful and repentant and looking for help. Do we project and exhibit an attitude and a spirit that welcomes others to confess those types of sins to us? And are we the type of people who are willing to confess those types of sins no matter what the reaction might be? Because God expects us to confess our sins to each other because it's the right thing to do. So tonight, if there is anyone who needs to confess Jesus for the first time, to make that good confession that you believe with all of your heart that he is the Son of God and that he is the Lord, and upon that confession, being baptized for the remission of your sins, or if there is any sin in your life that you feel needs the attention of God's people here at Hanceville, please let us know as we stand and sing.